Good evening, everyone. We have been thinking about the promises of God over these last few weeks in lockdown. And that's a good spiritual practice, isn't it? To be reminded of everything that God has promised for us, that God has done for us in Jesus. We've been reminded of the promises that are ours, or a handful of them, all beginning with the letter P. God's presence with us, his provision, his power, his pardon, his peace, his promise at Pentecost and paradise last week. And that is an awesome list. But that's not it. There is more, much more. If you Google how many promises of God are there in the Bible, you will get answers that say they are between 3,000 and 30,000 promises. I don't know what the real answer is, but that tells me from beginning to end, this is a book of promises of God. Promises of worth and identity, promises of eternal value and depth, promises that when we take them seriously, they have an impact on our spiritual walk. So our penultimate P, our penultimate promise, our second to last sermon in this series is participation. If you've got your Bible handy or you've got your phone on and you can see it and watch at the same time, turn to 2 Peter chapter 1 and we're looking at the first four verses. 2 Peter chapter 1, 1 to 4. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who through the righteousness of God and our God and Saviour Jesus Christ have received a faith as precious as ours. Grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Confirming one's calling and election. His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these he has given us his very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. Now, if we were to read the rest of 2 Peter, we'd see that it's structured around two themes. Jesus' power in chapter 2, and his promises in chapter 3. And these verses we're thinking about today are kind of the rest of the letter in miniature. Peter's timescale is central to what he's thinking about in our verses. He says that we're given huge resources by Jesus. Promises. Promises for here and now in our everyday reality. Everything we need for life and the living of that life with godliness, and promises that direct us to our future forever. Very great and precious promises, as our text says. So two things here and now and something for the future makes up the gift of faith that we have received. Promises, precious promises. So how are you at keeping your promises? Well, I think we could all think of times we've broken our promises, maybe deliberately, or maybe through circumstance or no fault of our own. In human terms, we think of promises as having limited value. Experience has taught us that we shouldn't really trust those who make promises too eagerly, you know. Stereotypes of dodgy second-hand car salesmen and a very not true stereotype of estate agents. And even when we consider a promise as reliable, we don't count ourselves as having received it until it's completely fulfilled. So, for example, if you promised me tickets to Gary Barlow's 2021 solo tour, I won't believe you I won't see it fulfilled until they go on sale, until you've bought the tickets, until they're in my hands, and until we get to the gig. The value of that we place on a promise is everything to do with the person making it and the fulfillment of it. The confidence that we have in that it will be completed. I read a story about a very generous man called Russell Edward Herman. He was so generous that he left trillions of dollars to people he never met. He gave away $2.41 billion to the tiny Ohio town that was called Cave in Rock. What a great name. Wow, you're thinking, isn't he amazing and generous? Well, you might be thinking now, or you might be thinking if you're cynical, okay, Louise, what's the catch? The catch is that Russell Edward Herman didn't have the money to give away. He didn't have trillions of dollars. He was just a carpenter and a poor one at that. He had great intentions. He made big promises. But none of them were fulfilled. That's very disappointing, especially if you come from that Ohio town, Cave in Rock. You might be in a place where you need to be reminded of the goodness of God and the faithfulness of Him to keep His promises. God is not Russell Edward Herman. What God has promised, He either has already fulfilled or He will fulfill. God keeps His promises. He turns them into reality. If we believe that, we know that a promise from God is a declaration of certainty. It is a promise of eternal currency, a tangible gift. But let's think about verse 4. Through these, that is the divine power, glory and goodness that has just been mentioned in verse 3, through these, He's given us His very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. Through His great and precious promises, some of which, as we've said, have already been realised. That Jesus the Messiah would come, tick, that He'd bear our sins in His body on the cross. He's done that. Promises realised already. And promises that are real here and now, that we have the Holy Spirit, that we've been adopted, and we have the relationship with God as sons and daughters and family, that God hears our prayers and answers them, that in His name we can do miracles even greater than Jesus did, that He'll never leave us or forsake us, that He loves us in spite of our failure and sin. Wow, promises that we have here and now. And promises that we're still waiting for, that we will go to heaven when we die, that we will escape the punishment that we deserve because of our sins, that Christ will return and take us to Himself, that our bodies, whether living or dead, when Christ returns, will be raised and changed, that we will rule and reign in Christ in a new heaven and a new earth. That's not happened yet, but a promise that we are still waiting for. And that is just a list that's barely scratching the surface. Peter tells us the amazing truth that we get to participate in all that God has for us and participate in the very nature of God. And Peter is building on a promise and something that he said in his first letter when he told believers that they'll share in the glory of God to be revealed. And Paul writes that, and Paul, not Peter, Paul writes that we are adopted as daughters and sons so that we might be conformed into the likeness of Jesus. Through the promises, we get to participate in God's nature. We get included and we get the opportunity to participate and share in God. The word that's used in Greek is the same one that we get from communion and fellowship. In other words, we become sharers in God when we believe in his promises. The key is communing and participating with God. The key is faith. That might sound obvious, but it's true. Faith comes from hearing, says Romans 10:17. Faith, confidence, and trust in the promises of God are foundational. It's a foundational way that we become like God and grow in our relationship with him. Now you might be saying, that's all very well and good, Louise, but how do we do that? Well, we don't need reminding, or perhaps we do, that each of us have got the power source available to us. That's the Holy Spirit. And we're reminded tonight that God has given us all that we need to become like Christ. So the question I want to finish with tonight is, are you tapping into that power source? Are you failing because you're trying to do it your own way, in your own power? Where are you at today? If you lack the power to live for God, then you need to be properly plugged into him. And there are some age-old ways to do that. This is not rocket science. Spend some time with God. Get into his word and learn. Spend time in prayer and communicate with God. Get active in serving him and see him at work. Commit your life to being obedient to him, and God will change you, change the way you think, change the way you are. And you'll get to share in the promises of God, and you'll be changed to be more and more like Jesus. That sounds like good news. The good news is that God delights in taking ordinary and weak and stumbling people like me, and maybe you, and changing us to be people connected, people who are godly, people who are bold in their faith, people who participate in his promises and his life. I want to be a person that does that. What about you? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, you are our God and Saviour, and we need to know you more. We want to know you so well that we don't need to worry about needing anything else, that our faith will be so focused on you that we know you as our provider and our promise keeper. Lord Jesus, teach us your promises and lift our faith to see and believe that we might be shaped to be like you, to reflect your glory rather than the values and doubts and sin of our world. Let us know you, be known by you, and be shaped by you. In your power and in your name, we pray. Amen.